chapter 11. Back to reality. Back to reality, indeed. We have been diligently slogging through this apostate. I'll just give it that name. I won't say it's heretical in its doctrine, but I'll say it's certainly apostate. Teaching that Paul preached three different, distinct, and separate gospels during the Acts period and then on into the prison epistles. And that's what we are laboring to. We're laboring through the teaching that goes along with that whole theory. And then it's not a lot of labor to discredit it, but it is a lot of labor to understand the teaching to begin with. We left off in Romans 11, and I feel like I probably ought to review just a little bit, starting in verse 1, where you find Paul talking about the casting away of the people of Israel. And Paul says, "I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid." Well, the teaching then is going to make, of course, that mean that not everyone of Israel has been cast away, which is true. Absolutely true, because Paul says, "Hey, I'm an Israelite, and I didn't get cast away." And then you skip down to verse 5, or verse 4, and here God has reserved to himself 7,000 men. That was back in the prophet Elias saying that, and of course Paul's quoting Elias. And verse 5, "Even so then," Paul says, "at this present time," at the time of the writing of Romans chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says, "there is also a remnant according to the election of grace." Now, the election of grace is going to be, as Peter taught in Acts, according to God's foreknowledge. There's always the foreknowledge issue, and that's where the Calvinists get really confused. They see foreknowledge as being predestined. In other words, God picked out Thurman, but he didn't pick out Bill. God picked out Mary, but he didn't pick out Edith. And by some ambiguous set of qualifications, how nice you are, whether you like puppies or not, who knows what they might be, God has pointed his finger at certain people and said, "You're going to heaven, you're going to hell, you're going to heaven, hell, hell," you know. And that kind of thing. That's what the Calvinists believe. Well, this really, what you're going to find out is there's a lot of the grace movement that borders on Calvinism. It borders on this predestined salvation issue. That's a really wrong place to go. We're going to, at some point or another, deal with that. There's a lot of things I have in mind that we're going to... The list of teachings, is it goes out to next July sometime, and that would be in the year 2008. So there's no lack of things to cover. But there's a lot of the grace movement that leans toward Calvinism, predestined status, whereby you have been picked out. That is what is happening right here, that there's an election of grace. Now, we live... Let's write a couple terms. We live in the dispensation of grace, which is a general dispensing. I likened it last week to killing dandelions. Dispensing grace would be like shooting every dandelion in the yard. Just not picking one out, but just shooting them all. The election of grace, I'm going to pick out a particular dandelion and kill it with my grace killer, with my grace weed shooter, and that would be the difference. Dispensing of grace, the dispensation of grace, is a general dispensing to everyone, Jew, Greek, doesn't matter who you are. Election of grace is in fact going to be something quite different. The election of grace has to do with the little flock. And in order to be of the little flock, there are qualifications. One would be, you believe by the gospel of the kingdom, of which we spent so much time going over just not that many weeks ago. By the way, while I'm thinking about it, the PDF file for the gospel of the kingdom teaching is 22 pages long and is now on the website. So you can download that. I had a request to bring in outlines for that. And I looked at the number of pages along with the outline that I am. I don't even have this outline completed quite yet, and I'm already up to 18 pages. There's going to be some 50 pages of outline between the two in this whole series of teaching. And then you multiply that even by the number of people we have here, and you're into reams and reams of paper. So it's available on the website. It's a very easy download, and you can do with that what you will. So that's on the website. Meanwhile, we then have this confusion of teaching, making the election, which is concerning the little flock of Israel. They are the elect. Remember, the term elect is always going to deal with A, Israel, B, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, well, why those two? Well, every reference to the elect or election is going to deal with one of those two, every time. And the only way you become a part of the elect is when you are in Christ, when you have been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. You as an individual, you as a nationality, you as a... There's nothing special about you. That's what I'm trying to convey. I hate to break your hearts, but there's nothing particularly special about you or me that would make us elect. The people that are elect according to grace, there was at that time something special, particular about them. What was that? It was that they were part of the nation Israel. That was at a time when God was still dealing with Israel according to prophecy. Was it not? The Acts of the Apostles, that book is a transition period, and during that time, up until you hit Acts 28:28, there is still prophetic fulfillment going on. After that, all bets are off. Nobody has any prophetic standing. Nobody has any covenant standing. The covenant standing is what makes those particular people elect according to grace. Now, where does the grace come in as far as the elect goes? There is always grace involved in salvation, from one end of the Bible to the other. There always has to be grace. We know that there are none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That disqualifies each and every person, all the way from Adam till the last man standing out there at the end of the book of Revelation. From by our own righteousness being acceptable to God. If we're sinners, we're sinners. And we are. So there always has to be God's grace involved, His mercy involved. He has to look down upon us and say, poor people, and have mercy on us. That's just the fact of the matter. So, but there is a difference when we deal with the election of grace concerning Israel. That election of grace at that time had nothing to do with the Babylonians, the Greeks, the Hindus, the Chinese, anybody else in the world. It had only to do with the nation Israel. Remember, there's other people in the world at this time. We're contemporary with the Caesars. We're contemporary. Have we hit Alexander the Great? Yeah, we've passed through Alexander the Great. So you have the Grecian Empire, you had the Babylonians, you have all the Arab nations over there. And those people were still back there. I mean, you know, they weren't the cavemen of the commercial for the insurance company. They were real people, just like you and me. God wasn't dealing with them, though. They were not in the elect because they were not in Israel. I hope that explains the difference. So this teaching, this erroneous teaching, is going to make election according to grace... It's confusing at this point. The election, you have to make the body of Christ part of the elect, is what's going to happen, and we'll examine that as we go on. Romans chapter 11, verse 6. If by grace, then it is no more works, otherwise grace is no more grace. If it be of works, then it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. And you say, well, that sounds like us. Well, it does, but it wasn't really necessarily directed at us, was it? It was directed at Israel, unbelieving Israel, who had not believed the kingdom gospel, who were unsaved Jews. Paul is writing to, understand who Paul's writing to. He's writing to his kinsmen according to the flesh, Jews who have not accepted the Messiah, And at this particular time, Paul's writing, there are two possible ways that they can get saved. There's the kingdom gospel, which has to do with Peter and the little flock. There's also the gospel of the grace of God, which has to do with Paul and the body of Christ. This is where the confusion comes in. There's a lot of groups in play, and there's a lot of unbelievers in play. There's Jewish unbelievers, there's Gentile unbelievers, Jewish believers in the kingdom gospel, Jewish believers in grace, Gentile believers that got proselytized into the kingdom gospel, Gentile believers that believe by grace. So you have six different groups, and it's complicated, no doubt about that. Acts, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Romans, all three, you're dealing with those groups. And in verse 7, Paul says, "What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, the rest were blinded. So this elect of grace, right here, which is in fact the little flock of Israel and nobody else, they have obtained what they were seeking for." What were they seeking for? Entrance into an earthly kingdom. Prophetic fulfillment, according to the prophecy program, which started in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and does not conclude until the very last verse of Revelation. They are looking for an earthly kingdom. They're looking for a Messiah. They're looking for that for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to come down and rule and reign on this earth from Mount Zion. The election has obtained it. That's these people right here. But the rest were blinded. They're out of the program. So if they're not in the little flock, what alternative do they have? If they're not in the little flock of Israel, what alternative do they have? They have this grace alternative, this other gospel. You see, if the gospel, let's deal with this for just a moment. If the gospel of the grace of God is identical to the gospel of the kingdom, as 99.999% of all Christian churches in the country today are going to tell you that they are, then if the rest were blinded, God condemned those Jews to hell at that time. Romans chapter 11, verse 7 is nothing more than a condemnation, a death sentence, an eternal sentence in hell for all of Israel who had not yet become part of the elect. You understand what I'm saying? There would have been no alternative for them whereby they could have believed. They couldn't have been saved. But, good news. There was an alternative. Israel that got blinded, they're not eligible for the kingdom program at the point of the kingdom program going into abeyance. But there's now this oncoming program, this gospel of the grace of God, a different means of salvation, whereby it's no longer admittance into Israel, it's no longer admittance into the elect as far as being part of the covenant nation. Rather, it's becoming part of the elect because you are in Christ, and He is of that same nation. When you deal with believing Israel, can you not put the Lord Jesus Christ into this group, this elect of grace? This little flock of Israel, is he not actually part of that group? Yeah, he is. He just happens to be the head of that group. He's the top dog, the main man, the one that makes all the difference. But he is of Israel, wasn't he? That's why he's part of the elect, as Israel. So, we don't become Israel when we believe, but we do become in the elect, not individually elected, though. I know it's a tough thing. It's hard to explain. If I say it enough times, you'll get it. Meanwhile, Romans chapter 11, verse 8, "As according as it is written, God hath given them," that would be Israel that did not believe the kingdom gospel, "hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they could not hear, unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always." So here's where we really get a divergence of and a problem. in the teaching that goes on according to Paul's three Gospels. The teacher is going to say, if you were a Jew and were not in the little flock of Israel, you're doomed. You are doomed. Now, God is going to turn to the Gentiles to fulfill this little flock, to fulfill the elect. Because we're going to... the elect of verse 7 has to be filled up. There has to be so many... let's say this circle here, and we'll call that the elect. During Peter's ministry in the Gospel of the Kingdom, only part of the elect got filled up with Jews. And the rest were blinded. So now you have unbelieving Jews on the outside that can't get in. They are stuck out there, I guess in limbo, the Pope's limbo. So the teaching goes is that because the rest were blinded and you still have room in the elect circle here, now you have to turn to Gentiles to fill up this elect. The elect is always going to be part of the kingdom program. And those are going to be the ones, for instance, that go through the tribulation period. Those are going to be the ones that get the covenant promises. Those are going to be the ones that go into the earthly kingdom, become priests, and all the things that we've covered under the kingdom gospel. So, can you look down the road just a little bit, about a tenth of a mile, and see where this is going? If you have Jews in the elect already, they're the kingdom believers. The rest are blinded, so they're disqualified. What would that say about Jews throughout history? I guess they're just this. Hitler was right, I guess. That's what that would say, first of all. But then you need to fill up this kingdom elect with Gentiles. What would Paul have had to preach to these Gentiles in order to get them into the elect? The gospel of the kingdom. The same material. That's why this teaching goes that the gospel of God, remember we're still in a way covering the gospel of God, the gospel of God being, according to the teaching, the recognition that Jesus is the Son of God. Plain and simple. He was the Messiah, the Son of God. That's all that it contains. Peter preached that. Paul preached that. No doubt about it. There's commonalities, are there not? Paul, the wise master builder, there's a foundation, the foundation being Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Those are commonalities in the programs, no doubt about it. But what has to happen is that Paul is going to preach a common gospel with Peter in order to get these Gentiles in the elect. That's the way the false teaching goes. So you see where the road leads? It leads to Peter and Paul preaching the same thing. When in fact they didn't. When in fact they didn't. Let's move along. I know this is hard, and I'm not sure whether it's going to get any easier, but I will try to do the best I can to explain it. The teacher of this three gospel program that Paul taught is in fact going to make the Gentiles of Romans 11:11 Greeks only. Now, when you have an agenda, let me just tell you this. When you have a predetermined agenda for your Bible, if I'm going to have Paul teach three separate Gospels, two of which you're going to find out are common between Peter and Paul, then I have to change some things in my Bible. I have to make things say things that they don't. And this is where we're going to see one of those instances. Romans chapter 11, verse 11. Paul says, I say then, speaking of Israel that has not believed, have they stumbled that they should fall? Well, Paul's answer to that is, God forbid. But as you just saw, the Jews have to be out of the program at that point. They have to be out of getting into the elect program. So already we're contradicting ourselves. But you skip over verses and you kind of slide through things and you deal with ignorant enough people and they're going to buy anything, guarantee you. Has Israel stumbled that they should fall is the question. The answer, God forbid. But through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them, Israel, to jealousy. Now, we have to make the Gentiles of Romans 11:11 Greeks only. Remember I told you last week, according to the teaching, all Texans are Americans, but not all Americans are Texans. That's the analogy. All Greeks are Gentiles, but not all Gentiles are Greeks. Greeks are a special group of Gentiles in this teaching, which is going to be a wrong thing. But in order to make it work, you have to make Greeks a special group of Gentiles. If you're familiar with Herbert W. Armstrong and the Worldwide Church of God, he's dead now. I have no doubt he's burning in hell, because I know what he believed, and it was a complete works program, and it was a just an abomination of the entire Bible. But nonetheless, he taught that America was in fact Manasseh of the tribes of Israel and or Ephraim. The American was Ephraim, and British and the Brits were Manasseh. That's where the term British Israelism comes from. That somewhere or another 10 of the 12 tribes got lost in space and disappeared, and who knows what, they got beamed up onto the Starship Enterprise, which isn't true. You can find it in your Bible. But if you're stupid enough to believe what's going on and just, you know, that guy knows more than I do, then you think that they got lost. So there's 10 tribes. There's a split in the kingdom. You know that. There's Judah and there's Israel at one point. Well, Israel gets lost. That's 10 tribes. Judah, we know where they're at, according to his teaching, and that's Britain and America. So Britain and America, the covenant nations, were Israel, and, you know, and he makes a distinction between Israel and the Jew. Guess who's the bad guy? The Jew. The Jew killed Jesus. The Jew's the bad guy. Let's all blame the Jew. Same as Hitler did. By the way, baked them all in ovens. Your Bible does not make that same distinction. Israel and Jews are the same in your Bible no matter where you find them. Gentiles and Greeks are the same in your Bible no matter where you find them. But in order for this teaching to work, you have to make Greeks special Gentiles. Gentiles